Well, I hope you were here last week. I hope you were here Wednesday. I have been on a series about money. Praise the Lord. Everybody loves it. Amen. I like money. I love money. You know, I mean, I love to have it and, you know, that kind of, I like it. Amen. It's good. Been broke and I hadn't been broke and I like this side way more than I like the other side. Amen. I told you what I told my wife is she quits ordering from Amazon, give them a 2-week notice so they'll have time to prepare for it. Amen. Just slow it down a little bit. Do it easy. Easy, you know. They have a budget too. But I wrote on our board, you've heard me say it many times, but I wrote on our board back here in the back in the staff meeting, it's not about the money, but it's all about the money. I think I've coined that phrase, glory to God. It's not about the money, but it's all about the money. It's not about the money. Right? But it is about the money. It's not about the money in my house, but it kind of is when the light bill's due. Kind of is when the insurance is due and when the car payments are due. It kind of is about the money. Matter of fact, it's all about the money at that point. But if you put it in perspective and you get it right in the beginning, then your focus is not all about the money at the end. You got to get it in line in the beginning. It's not about the money, but it's all about the money. So we're going to continue today, the last of the three sermons in this series. So it's money, subtitled, What Are You Doing With It? What are you doing? Well, you know, we do something with money, right? We're always doing something with money. If you were here Wednesday night, I taught on how many was here? You can spend it. Okay, some of y'all wasn't paying attention. So you can spend it, you can give it, and you can save it. And pretty much all monies, I believe, can be put in those three categories. You can spend it, you can save it, or you can give it. Amen. And so today we're going to talk about what are you doing with it? What are you doing with what God's blessed you with? Now, most of us have a budget. If we're honest and our budget, and we look at it and it's written down, and pretty much I'll say 90 or maybe 95% of the stuff in a budget is pointing back to our needs, our wants, our desires. Well, I like a roof over my head. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I like air conditioning. Praise God, but the lights started flickering last night and it's going out. I liked it when I was able to pay Dale to come and put me a generator in. Power going to go out? I don't know. Don't care. Mine's going to kick on in just a minute. If I paid, oh Lord, did we pay the gas bill so the gas can be in the tank? See how money affects you in all kind of ways? It just always reverts back to, did we pay that? There's nothing wrong with things. What are you doing with it? Most of our stuff, if I had you to write out a budget and we put it on the screen, most stuff points back to you, what you do with it for you, for your kids that involve you. But when it comes to things that it doesn't involve you, like giving, where it's away from you, ministries, and when you give to the house of the Lord in your budget, give the house of the Lord, that kind of benefits you, especially if you come to this house. Seats feel pretty good today, don't they? Air feels pretty good. I mean, that's a bloated question. Some of you feels great. Some of you doesn't feel great. It's nice. We're able to do things with it here. And so what are you doing with money? Everybody wants it. Everybody needs it. Everybody talks about it. How many of you this week, I said this last year, how many of you this week had a conversation about money with your spouse or a significant other? Okay, the rest of y'all are lying. Okay. You talk about money in some way. You mentioned it. Whether it's I got this in savings or I bought this, I sold this. It's something is revolving around money. You talked about money this week to somebody. If you're in a business, you talked about money. We talked about money. We talk about money every day, don't we, Landon? Every day we talk about money at the end of the day, don't we? Talk about money. Why? Because it's money that makes the business go round and round. It's money. Amen. So you talk to people all the time about money. You may not know it. It may be so natural to you. You talk about money. to talk about finances. And so if you talk about it every day, pretty much every day or every week, guess what? I think the church ought to address money. So here's, let me finish my statement. But if you talk about money in church, it becomes the sin of all sins. The preacher's trying to get more money. The preacher wants my money. The preacher wants me to write another check. What are we going to do? Well, I don't like that. I don't want to write my check. Has nothing to do with that. Your heart's already wrong. It's in the wrong place. Let me just tell you, your heart's wrong. It says if you come here more than a couple of Sundays. Amen. More than two, because I've been preaching on money the last two. You talk about money in the church, the devil rears his ugly head. I ain't going back to that church. They just talk about money. The preacher wants to talk about money. Been there 2 weeks in a row. He's talked about money. What if you'd have come Wednesday? You'd heard it three times. But now you might not hear it again for another 3 years. Amen? So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says this. And if you'll get this in your spirit, I'm telling you, you can go places with this. If you'll get this verse in your spirit, and you shall remember the Lord your God. For it is He, everybody say it's He, it's God, who gives you the power to get wealth. Not you. You need to establish that you didn't do it. It's God who gives you the power to get wealth. So you say, well, I've got wealth. Yeah, but you didn't do it on your own. God gave you the power to get wealth. God gave you the intellect. God maybe gave you the hands, the physical aptitude to work, but it's God who gives you the power to get wealth. You could do nothing without God. You understand that, right? Well, what about these heathens? What about Bill Gates? It's a proclaimed atheist. Well, it's still God gives him the power. It's still God gives him the power to get wealth. Well, somebody that's a heathen's got to get wealth, because the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It's not contradictory. It's like, okay, well, there's got to be heathens. God says, I'm going to make you have billions because I'm going to spread that around too. That's the way God works, amen? So he says that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. So understand this. When I got this scripture in my spirit, when I'm talking about down in here, it wasn't a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, somebody prophesied to me a long time ago. No. When I got this verse in my spirit, see, when the word gets in you and you let the word culminate and you let the word sprout, when the word comes forth, it'll be productive. Well, praise the Lord. So it is God. So we lean on God no matter what. So if I'm successful in an area of my life in finances, guess what? I always got to go back and say, God, thank you, God, that you give me the power to get wealth, that you give me the power to get up and go to work, that you give me the power to think and to make good budgets and to manage. Thank you, God, that you gave me the discipline to say no when I didn't have the money. Come on, somebody. Woo! Preaching better than your amen in me. So how do you increase your finances? How does this happen? How does this work? How do you increase your finances? Well, you got to manage the finances. And according to scripture, increase comes. Now, I can't tell you that if you manage $10, you're going to have $10 million. That's not the way this works, okay? It says you'll have more. Well, $11 is more than 10. I've been there. Some of you ain't never been like that. I've had to get them quarters out of that coffee cup area to put gas in the car. That's when you put 50 cents in the car and it was a gallon. Come on, somebody. Scrounge around there and say, honey, you got 50 more cents? I'd give us a dollar and a half in the gas tank. Y'all ain't been there. I have. Glory to God. Look around there and walk on, get out of the truck, and somebody, the dollar done blowed out of their car, and you think, glory to God, I'm rich, I got a dollar. I was at Love's the other day, and speaking about money, we chase that stuff. Man, I chase money. I act ignorant for money in a good way. I got out at Love's in Indianola. I pulled out my wallet. I was going to put my credit card into the, or my debit card into the little card reader. And I did in my billfold. I've just got a little wallet. It's got a little magnetic deal. And it flew open, and $20, one went that away, and another 20 went that away. Well, I dropped my whole wallet trying to jump on the first 20. Wind was blowing. And I got my foot under it, and I saw another one. I was pulling a trailer. And I saw nothing blow under the trailer. I was so interested in that $20 that I forgot I dropped my wallet. I left it, and I run around the other side, and I'm looking for that 20 to come out under that gust of wind. It didn't come out. I'm looking across the parking lot, and what did I do? I got down on my belly and crawled under that vehicle. There's that 20. And all you could see was about from here out of me under a trailer in Love's parking lot and people everywhere after a $20 bill. And don't tell them what I'd do for 100. I'm telling you, glory to God. Oh, you're the same way. What I'm saying is money is important to us. I had another 20 that I'd gotten. It was it'd spend the same way as other, but 20 and 20 make me 40. And the Lord didn't lay it up on my heart to let bless somebody as it blows across the parking lot. Come on, somebody. How many of you get out of the car at Walmart and you say there's a $20 bill and you look around and say, Lord, let this be my blessing. Okay, I'm good. You don't go into Walmart most of the time and say, I found 20 in the parking lot. Is this anybody's? Everybody in Walmart's coming up to you. That's mine. Had a 2 and a 0 on both sides. Is that the one you got? Looks just like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you get increase? Well, one, you don't let the wind blow it out of your hand. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. This is a kingdom principle. When I talk about principle, do you understand? Kingdom principles, you don't have to be saved to practice kingdom principles. You understand that, right? Most of the time you are. But that's why a lot of Jews that are not Christian Jews, they're wealthy because they understand kingdom principles. There's kingdom principles that if you practice, you know, you don't have to be saved to practice this principle. If you touch a hot stove, you're going to burn your hand. You don't have to be a Christian to say, that ain't going to burn my hand, or that will burn my hand. No, it's a principle. If it's hot and you touch it, you'll burn your hand, Christian or non-Christian. There's principles in the Bible. If you practice, that's why there's wealthy non-Christian people. How many of you know wealthy non-Christian people? I know a bunch of them. I probably know more of the wealthy non-Christian than I do wealthy Christian. Amen? But they understand principles. Sometimes they don't even know what it is. They just practice principles. Watch this. Matthew 25, verse 14 says this. This is important. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man. So he's telling you this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. You can put your mind around it. This is coming from God is really what he's saying. This is a principle. Okay? He says, he's like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And the one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. To each according to his own ability. That is important. That is very important to your own ability. You can start with a little, but if you increase and take care of that, you will increase to a little bit more. But if somebody who's already been practicing has $20 million and they increase, they may increase to $30 million. You get the picture? It's according to your own ability, how long you've been doing this stuff, how long you've been practicing. How many of you know the longer you manage money, the more you have? Okay, the longer you manage money, the more you have. It's like saving. When you start saving, I remember started saving after I went broke. I started saving with a quarter. A quarter won't buy you anything now. I don't know of anything. Will it buy you? It won't even buy you a pack of gum. You used to get a 5-stick pack of gum for a quarter. How much? 35 cents. I went up a dime in 40 years. Look at there. So you got nothing. But I remember putting a quarter on a chest. And if you had another quarter, I thought, man, I got 2 quarters. And as that thing began to grow, I was less apt to go in there and stick my hand in because I saw it growing. I was learning to manage. I was learning to put money. I got to spend it. I got to save it. And I got to give it. And I was learning that my savings right there, I need to save it. That means like save it. some of you just save it till the end of the week and get it. No, it's, you save it. You might have an emergency. I think I told you last week that an emergency is not your dishwasher going out. If you're married, there's four of those in your house. You got two on each arm. I mean, one on each arm. There's four arms. Come on, somebody. And if you got kids, you got a passel of dishwashers. How many of you older folks, you youngers may not, how many of you had to wash dishes? You're like in a sink with water and dry them. And then mom come by and inspect them and say, that ain't washed good enough, wash it again. Good Lord, mom. It's just food. You reheat it, we'll eat it again. That was my thought. Amen. So increase comes when you take care of it. So you'll have a little more and a little more. And as I begin to get more and more in my finances, in my savings jar, I tended not to want to get into that savings jar because it began to grow. These are just principles. But you got to let it sit there. And money is about discipline. Money, let me tell you again. Let me say it on this side because they weren't excited about it. Money's about discipline. If you can discipline yourself not to spend money, you can have money. Most of us don't have a money problem. We have a discipline problem. I want it. Y'all seen the little meme or little whatever, little short thing of reel, I don't know what to call them anymore, where the little baby's there and he's got like his hand over against the big wad of money. And it first came out, first time I saw it was when the Ukrainian president wanted more money and our president said no and he was going, yeah. Y'all remember that? You seen that? I thought, man, that is America right there. We stick our hand over, we want something. It's like, no, you can't have it, but I want it. So what you want it? Can you save it? Can you discipline yourself? Verse 15 says, and one he gave five talents, to another he gave two, and one he gave one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16, then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. What did he do? We're going to watch this principle. He took what he had, he managed it, he invested it, he traded it, he saved it, he spent it, whatever it was all in this thing that you can do with money. And he increased to five more. So he started with, if you look up the word talent, that means money. If you look up the New Living Translation, that word talent actually says money, okay? So he starts with money, and he had five talents, and he doubled it. That's pretty cool. Amen, he doubled it. Because he traded, he did something with it. Other than I want my needs. I want this. I want that. I want that $75,000 Can-Am. They're not that much, but they're close to that. Amen. Cabin air, electric windows. I'll guarantee you they'll run you $40,000 for something you can't even ride to work. Okay, let me move on. Hey, I got one, not that. I got a can now, but it's not that. I'm not against having stuff. Come on. Amen? Hey, it's nice. It's nice I to go out to the barn and get on a little golf cart that's about 100 yards away. I like riding that thing. That's why I look this way. I should walk more, okay? That's nice. It's neat. Amen? It's okay to have stuff. I'm not opposed to that. It says, verse 17, and likewise, in other words, the same thing happened. He who had received two gained two more also. He done something with it. He increased it. He managed it. He traded it. Whatever it was, he increased it. He had two, and now he's got four. That's double. And verse 18, but he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Now, he received it. He didn't work for it. None of these guys worked for anything they had necessarily. It was a gift. It was given. That's what you can say, Deuteronomy 8:18. It's God who gives you the power to get wealth. Right. You can start with something, okay? Start with what you have. Remember a message a few weeks ago? Start with what you have. Start there, okay? He says, so he got this one, but he said, I think I'll go dig this. Dig me a hole and put it in the ground. That way I won't lose it. Now, there's a lot of people in the world today just like that. We call them non-risk takers. Come on, somebody. My wife freaks out when I come in and say, I got this idea. What? I mean, it's like the deer in the headlight look. She starts panicking, you know? How we ever stayed married through farming, I don't know. It's crazy. She's not a risk taker. She would be the one in the Bible. Let's go dig a hole and put it in. We'll have when he comes back. And I'm like, oh, no. Man, this is free gift, man. Let's go do something with it. Let's expand it. Here's what a lot of people say. But what if it don't work? I don't know about that. I ain't thinking about it. But what if it does work? See, that's the way you think about things. What if it does? Then we would have more, and then we could do it again. She said, but can we keep some of it? Amen. So this guy, he goes and digs a hole and puts it in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money. And verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts. He says with them, he said, can't settle account. I want to say this. I know I'm talking about money. But the Bible is full of metaphors. If God's given you a natural talent, not talent of money, but an ability to do something within the church, within the kingdom, you ought to be doing it. I know a lot of people that just dig a hole and put it right in there. They can do a lot of things to help build the kingdom. And let's say, well, I'm just going to dig a hole. I'll have it when he comes back. But yeah, but what are you doing with it? He's coming to settle an account. Come on, he's settling. He's going to settle an account. And it's not only just about money. It's going to be about things that you could have done with what God had given you. God didn't give me the ability to sing. Okay, some of you never heard me sing because if you had, you'd have said, amen. He did not give me the ability to sing. Therefore, I do not need to try to bore you and hurt you with my singing, my lack of singing ability. He did give me some other abilities that I can use to help. If God's given you a talent to teach, sing, play, something, you ought to think about what, you know, one of these days you're going to settle that account. Well, that's a side note. That ain't even part of my message. We're just talking about money. You want to talk about money now, don't you? Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought so. Now let's get back to that money thing, preacher. Verse 20, so he had who had received five talents came and brought five other talents. Everybody say 10. Besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. What things? Those first five things. You were faithful over those. You managed those. You took care of those. You invested those. You had a budget on how to spend it, how to save it, how to give it. You did that. And so guess what? Since you've done all of that, I will make you ruler over many things. This thing's too easy. Because the first thing I got in my spirit is Deuteronomy 8:18. The second thing I got in my spirit about money was this passage of scripture, Matthew 25 and Luke 19. Same story, just different wording. When I got that in my spirit, I said, oh, wait a minute. The Lord's given me something. What can I do with what I got? And when you don't have anything, nothing plus nothing is still nothing. But when you come up with a quarter, guess what? You're 100% better than you was yesterday. And you can't get to a dollar unless you pass a penny. I don't care how you count. Think about that one. My grandpa used to tell us that. Pick up that penny right there. How many of you pick up a penny? Some of you, you surprise me. You don't even pick up a penny in a parking lot. Look, I lay down. I said, hey, there's a penny right there. Let's look for some more while we're here. I told you what I'd do for a $20 bill. You know I'm going to pick up a penny. I go home sometime with a pocket full of pennies. Well, 10 of them's a dime. Come on. then he says this, enter into the joy of your Lord. What does that mean? What does that really mean? Well, I can tell you this, that God is, if he gives you the power to get wealth and you enter into that joy, then we're talking about finances. That's what this whole passage, there's not a theologian alive that'll tell you this is talking about anything else. Now, there's some metaphors that's talking about other things, but the context, the text of the context is money. And he says, enter to the joy of the Lord. What does that mean? The Lord, he says, the earth is his and the fullness thereof in Psalms 24. He's got everything. Well, why don't you, if he'll increase you from 5 to 10, now enter into that. What is he going to do now? He can increase you to more. But it's not so you can keep more. So you can bless more. You were with me most of the part on this message until that part. You mean I got to give some of it away? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, God is not into socialism either, if you were wondering. Don't sit around waiting for somebody else to be blessed so you can get something. I'll prove that to you later. Oh, and did I tell you? I think I told you this Wednesday, but I'll tell the people who weren't here Wednesday. This phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will make you real, enter to the joy of the Lord. The only time that that's found is right here in the context of money. Look it up. Just look it up. Just get your Bible, get your little app, look it up. That's pretty cool. But God wants you broke and beat up and beat down and poor. Well, I don't think so. How can we bless people? How could we send the money to feed the children in Uganda if we didn't have anything? I know churches that don't have $300 to pay their light bill. Come on, I see the reports from, there's this church struggling. Church, can you help? Can you give over here? I'm talking about the whole church. I knew a church once that if I called the town was within 20 miles of here. The monthly income was $360. They ain't going to make it. Now, in fact, the church is not open anymore. They're not going to make it. What happened? Somebody got mad that the preacher was talking about money, and so he wouldn't talk about money, and the church went broke. Amen? Glory to God. You're enjoying this, I can tell. He also, verse 22, who had received 2 talents, everybody say 2, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more. Everybody say 4. Besides them. So now we have this guy that has 2. Now he's got 4. How many of you know that's increase? You doubling what you got. Amen. All right. Verse 23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Here it is again. Same thing. He's trying to drive this home. Well, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. How much? Just a few. Just what I've given you to begin with. I give this to you. Now, can you be faithful over this? Since you're faithful over this, he says, I will make you ruler. Who's going to make him? God. Yeah, Deuteronomy 8:18. It's God who gives you the power to get wealth. You see how this thing ties together if you just think about it and put all the connected dots? I, God, will make you ruler over much. Why? Because you managed, because you were faithful. He found you faithful over some little stuff. And he says, because you're faithful over this, I will, and you increased, you done what you had. Well, guess what I can do? You do your part and I'll always do my part. That's what my daddy always used to tell me. Shannon, I remember I was a farmer one time and I was having one of them great weeks. You ever had a great week like that? I mean, it's just so good. I mean, like, okay, I'm ready to throw in the towel, you know, but you can't because you signed a loan, you know, 3 weeks ago. One of those things, yes. Ah. I called my daddy. I said, Daddy, I'm just going through it, all this stuff. And you got to have your daddies in your life. Come on, somebody. I love my daddy in my life. He told me this. He said, son, you do your part. God will always do his part. That ain't what I wanted to hear. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't spiritual. I wasn't feeling spiritual. I wasn't feeling the Holy Ghost. I wasn't feeling anything but doom and despair. And how am I going to get out of this? And this is just pitiful. And yeah, yeah, yeah. But when he said that, it took me back to these verses that I got in my spirit 30 years ago, 33 years ago. They said, it's God who gives me the power to get wealth. Not my feelings, not my emotions, not any of that. It's God who gives me that power. Now, Marty, you get up and go do something with it. That's what my dad was saying. You do your part. You be faithful and you manage and you do everything that's necessary. You keep doing that. And guess what? God says, if you do your part, I'll do mine. I'll give you increase. It don't feel like increase sometimes, does it? Even now, I feel like sometimes I'm in a little bit of a, my dad used to say there's ebbs and tides. There's ups and downs in your finances. My grandpa said there's ebbs and tides in everything. Your emotions, your relationships, your money, everything. There's ebbs and tides, and that's true. And it feels like now that even 30-something years, I feel like sometimes I'm at the bottom, and I look back and say, yeah, but this bottom is a lot higher than that bottom was 33 years ago. Come on, somebody. And so God wants you to increase. God wants you to manage. You have to manage. I'm telling you, we're in a time and financially in our country where expenses are going up. I get letters all the time at the business down there. We're going to increase 5% here. We're going to increase 6% here. We're going to increase this and we're going to increase that. Come on, somebody. I get it all the time. We're going to increase your credit card thing from this, and it's going to be 15 cents a swipe and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, huh? Well, praise God, so far I ain't went up. We'll try not to. Now, I ain't going broke for anybody, okay? Don't get wrong there, okay? I won't even go broke for my kids. Come on, some of you need to get that in your spirit too. I don't love anybody enough to go broke for them. Ooh, that's tough. Uh-huh, if it's real, how can I help them if I'm broke? Poor folk can't help poor folk. They just pour together. I love you. You know, I'm preaching good stuff to you. So in this time, we need to learn how to manage what God's given us. And I can assure you, if you manage what God's given you in a low part, in an ebb, if you will, in a low part of finances across our country, it's just not this area. If you can manage well there, God says, I will increase you. He's not bothered by the economy of the United States. Come on. He's not bothered about world economy. He's God. He can increase you when he decides to increase you. So it's important we keep focused on money and on finances and on management of our resources. Okay? Verse 24, then he who had received the one talent came. No, I've already read that. Did I read that? No, I didn't. So verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid. Well, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. The Bible says, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Be anxious for nothing. Didn't say not to be cautious. It says, don't be afraid. It says, and I was afraid. That was his first mistake. His eyes wasn't on God. I was afraid in verse 25, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. This is funny to me. Because he says, I was afraid. Okay, that's not biblical. Number two, he acknowledged that God gave it to him. I hid your, read it. I hid your, verse 25, and I hid your talent. So he did acknowledge that it wasn't his, but at the same time, he understood that it was God's. And it says, and I hid it in the ground. And then he makes this crazy statement like he's just so proud of himself. Look, there you have what is yours. Pat me on the back. Give me a raise. No, it's not the way it works. Look at this whole scripture, this whole passage. The sin wasn't that he lost what he had been given. right? He got one. And what did he return? One. So why is God upset? Why is the master upset? Watch. Let's read this. Don't come back to that. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. You should have at least or ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. At least you'd have done something with you, old lazy rascal. Put it in and let somebody else do with it. Do something with it if you ain't going to." The sin wasn't that he lost it. The sin was that he didn't do anything with it. That was his problem. He did nothing with it. And when he did nothing with it, God couldn't increase him because he didn't find him faithful over the little. Well, praise the Lord. Boy, this is tough. Are you faithful over the dollar? My grandfather had a saying like this. He had a lot of good sayings. I should have wrote more of them down. Of course, he passed them to my dad. My dad passed them down. Now, I say my grandfather, but a lot of these I got from my dad, but they were just passed down. He says, if you'll take care of the little money, you don't have to worry about the big money. If you take care of the little money, you don't have to take care of the big money. Because if you're watching every penny, you're already watching the dollar. It's a given. If you're watching the quarter, you are, it's a given. You're taking care of the other stuff. And that's scriptural. He's saying, the least, you didn't even do anything. You hid it. You want your finances to increase? You want to grow financially? You want to grow in the Lord with your talents that he may have given you to do something with? You want to grow? You got to do something with it. How many of you have decided you were going to go to the gymnasium? Now, I hadn't done that in a while, but I'm just saying, like years ago or something, you decide I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start doing push-ups or something like that at house. I'm going to start doing those things around there. Anybody do that? Nobody? Somebody raise your hand and say, yeah, I did. Yeah, amen. Okay, we got five people. All right. Whew. They say, y'all are some lazy folks. Glory to God. So if you go and you start going to the gym and it takes you a while and you wear out, oh God, you come home 3 days later, you can't move. You ever done that? You're getting around like, oh my Lord. Somebody comes up to you and wants to hug you. Don't straighten me up. Do not straighten me up. What happened? I went to the gym. That's why I don't like gyms, okay? Amen. But if you keep going, after a while, you start to. You look in the mirror and you think, man, right? You get feeling a little better. Even your wife will come in, you'll see you feeling your muscle. My wife says, what are you doing? I got something on my, I'm stretching. Something bit me.
Men have this ego problem. Women, you do this. You're looking at your hips. Come on, somebody.
But you'll begin to feel strength in there, and you'll begin to say, man, I can do things I didn't do before. And then something happens, and you go on vacation, and 3 weeks later, you realize you hadn't been back at the gym. You're kind of okay with that. But you you realize you lost a little bit.
Come on. Some of you got such egos you don't even want to admit it.
I can't do what I used to do when I was 25. That's why I have a son. Amen? Glory to God. That's why Landon's in my life. He can do things I can't do and do them faster. It's cats everywhere. You hear me? He's just everywhere. I'm thinking, slow down. Let me breathe. I'm getting tired watching you, man. But you start to lose what you had. You start to lose your muscle buildup if you don't use it. You were a nurse. Is that correct? If you don't lose your muscle, you'll lose it. Is that correct? That's correct.
It has to be built up.
It has to be built up. Money's the same way. If you practice it, it'll grow. That muscle will grow. Your finances, but you got to discipline yourself. Again, I'm not telling you, you practice this and you get $5 million. I would never, ever say that's not true. But I promise you, at the end of your life, you will have more than what you started with if you will take it and you will manage it. Please don't hear this on camera. If you're watching online, I am not preaching the prosperity gospel. I don't believe in it. But I do believe that there's increase. But increase, if you're making $100 a week and you die making $1,000 a week, that's an increase. Amen? Some God uses and makes millions. I'm not telling you that you will. I'm telling you, but you can be content with where you are if you'll manage your finances. Do you know I know happy people that make $500 a week? They're just as happy as a lark. Come on. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. I know some people that if they didn't make $10,000 a week, they wouldn't be happy. They'd be like, oh, we're stressed out. I'm thinking, I think I could manage. Amen. It's like someone asks, what would you do with Donald Trump's money? Well, I don't know. I'd have to do some adjusting, but I think I could live there. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me hurry. I'm going to finish. You're getting bored. Verse 28. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. This is why he's not into socialism. Therefore, take the talent from him, the one who had the one and didn't do anything with it, and give it to him who has 10 talents. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you this, and you this, and you didn't do anything, so I'm going to take from you, and I'm going to give to this cat over here that's got 10. Well, that don't seem fair. Well, sure it does. I worked for it, and you didn't. So another little passage of scripture, the Bible says, a man don't want to work, don't let him eat. Oh, we're supposed to take care of the poor and help them. But we're not supposed to prop them up for the rest of their life. And so God says, I'll take from you and I'll give to the one who has been managing. And guess what? He'll get increased. That's why God says, I can increase you. I will increase you. He'll take from whoever he wants to. Amen? Now watch this. Verse 29, for to everyone who has, more will be given. Well, that ain't fair. Is it? Sure. In the text, in the context of the text, when you manage what you have, it is absolutely fair. I'm working for mine. Why should I give mine to you if you're going to stay at home and do nothing? For he who has, for everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Because you don't manage. That's why a lot of people, they can't get ahead because they don't manage. Put it on paper. What you have here and what's actually going on is two different things, I can assure you. We write stuff down, don't we, Landon? Over, I'm always on Jim about, write it down so I can see it. I need to see it. Because what you think's happening probably isn't what really is happening. So, but if it's down on paper, it's on a report, I can say, that actually happened. And what you said happened didn't happen. Therefore, we're off already. We're off on a bad foot. How can I manage what God's given me if the people I'm depending on cannot correctly manage? It's impossible. How can God do his part if you won't do your part? It's not that he can't, he just won't. Because God can do anything, right? But he won't step over stupidity. Okay. Verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's where we get that this could be absolutely a metaphor for our Christian walk, right here by that last verse. Because, you know, just because you do bad with money, you're not going to be putting somebody's teeth and thrown into a darkness and burnt, okay? So that's a different message. So Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4 says this. He who has a slack hand, say everybody say, who's lazy, becomes rich. He's poor. It's just poor. You ever seen anybody on welfare just wealthy? I mean, other than like, what's that guy's name? Al Sharpton. I mean, other than him, okay? Y'all don't even know who Al Sharpton is. Okay. Most people who are on, that don't do anything with their money, they never increase. They're always right there. You see them right now, they're here 20 years from now, they're still in the same spot. The only raise they got is because the company gave them a 3% cost of living increase. That's all they got. I'm not beating you up. I'm just telling you where this is the facts. Proverbs 10:4, the latter part of that says, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hand of those who put something to it, he increases. Rich is a relative term. You understand that, right? Let me explain it to you. When Elon Musk says, I'm rich, he rich. If you told Elon Musk that you had $1 million and you were rich, you may be rich according to where you've been, but he says you broke. Can you imagine going from, I don't know, $350 billion dollar lifestyle to $1 million? Oh, you broke. He's got cars cost more than what you owe, what you have. You see my point? Rich is relative. Where are you content? What has God given you? Where does God want you to plane out at? I don't know. Some people it's here, some people it's here. It's a relative term. So don't think rich means, oh, I can have 12 million. If I ask each of you what rich means to you, I would have different answers all across this room. Right? Yes. Okay. And I'm going to close with these last few passages of scripture. So how do we do this? How many of you this time of year, oh, you will after this rain, if you hadn't, have an ant pile in your yard? We're going to have them waist high to giraffes come Monday as soon as it stopped raining a little bit. You hear me? They're going to be up here, and I mean, like, they're going to be like, woo. There is a pest control company in the church. No, I'm kidding. Y'all tell Jason I said that, and he owes me $50 every time he comes to your house. Amen. To the church, of course. Glory to God, and amen. Increase. Hallelujah. So you have an ant. You need to go out, get you a 5-gallon bucket, sit down beside it, and watch the ants. This is what the Bible says. It's a principle. Now, Solomon is saying this. He says in Proverbs 6:6, go to the ant, you sluggard. In other words, you lazy person, you go that, and you can still learn something. He says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler. In other words, nobody's telling them to do this. You can just go watch them. When God gives you finances, nobody's telling you what to do. You just start doing these principles and it'll happen. He says, verse 8, it says, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, you old sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. You have to do something with what God has given you. He says, I've even allowed the ants to give you a roadmap if you're so, oh, almost said so dumb. Is that right? Can I say that? Deacons, can I say that in church? If you're so lazy, I don't even know what's better, dumb or lazy. Did you want to go to the ant pile? You got it in your yard. It won't cost you anything to walk out there and look at it and sit down and watch and see how they manage. Because an ant is managing better than you. Maybe you ought not try to kill all them ant piles and go watch them for a little bit before you kill them. Just a thought.
manage what you have and watch God increase. I've seen it 100 times over in my life in the last 33 years. I've seen it over and over and over again. But now when I increase, let me just tell you this. When you increase, there is a key, I believe personally, to increase and a continual increase. It doesn't say it in this passage of Scripture in the text that we read, but I just believe that these guys that was increasing were giving and building the kingdom of God in some way. I really believe that. They were in a monetary system at this time. Ministries 2,500, 3,000 years ago still had to have finances. You agree? Sure. We read about Paul saying, thank you for giving for my needs, giving to my needs as I was traveling in mission work. When you increase, if you budget and discipline to give more than you have been to build the kingdom. Just so you know, I don't go look at tithe records unless you have a complaint. Since we're talking about money, you can love me and hate me when you leave, but I still love you. I don't go look at any tithe records. I don't know if you give or not. And you know why I don't look? So I can say what I'm fixing to say. Some of you need to start tithing and giving in the offering and giving to the orphanage and giving to OCC. I'm not saying it's you because I don't go look. I do go look if you got a complaint because I'm going to make sure you're all in and you're giving and you're doing everything you need to before I start listening to you. Amen. Get all in. Finances as well. Work and serving and all those things. And man, you got both of my ears. You start complaining and you ain't all in. I just quit listening. I'm going to be honest with you. Because you're not all in. Why should I be all in on your problem? That's why I don't look at tithe records. So if you're in here and you say, Pastor, I've had it said about me, we get W-2s. That's a lie. How many in here have ever asked for a W-2? We would never do that. That's stupid. Because you ought to give on your own. Not because we look at some W-2 something or other. You look at my W-2. Look, my accountant, he lies all the time. I was a farmer. He lied for me. Glory to God in Jesus' name, but it's on him. Amen. Come on, good accountant to help you, boys, won't it? Good accountant to help you. Glory to God. Woo! That's why I have to tithe all the time. Amen. I'm concluding this message on money. On May the 1st, that'll be a Thursday, we're going to start a class called Financial Peace. I want to encourage you to come. It'll be viewed either depending on how many we have here or back in the back. I want to do it back here so we can have things to write on. It's a 9-week course. I want you to sign up. It'll help your finances. I want to help you spiritually, but I want to help you financially too. Because when I help you in every area of your life, then the church grows and we can do more ministry work. Come on. It's not about getting your money, okay? It's about you learning how to manage your money. So that if I come to you and say, hey, I need $50, because we were $50 short somewhere, you can say, hey, that's no problem. I would never do that unless it's Dale. I do that to Dale all the time. I'm just going to tell you right now. Dale comes with a pocket full of money because he knows I might ask him. Hey, Dale, can I have $50? You know what he says? Sure can. Come on. Amen. Let me bless you before we go. I hope you've gotten this in your spirit. I could teach about 10 more lessons on this. About 3 or 4 of them be life lessons. Because I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Amen. But I'm not going to. 3 is enough. You'll process this. Get this in your spirit. I promise you, get it in your spirit. It'll help you grow. Let me bless you, and then Elizabeth's going to come with our announcements. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. It is always rich. It is always full. It is always, it's right for us, Lord. Lord, I pray that we find favor with God and man, that your face would shine upon us.
that increase, prosperity, job promotions, and raises would come our way. And Lord, that peace would rest over every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon or tonight, that sweet sleep, that peaceful sleep, would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen.